sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Hey, you're tuning in to Shorelines Radio. This is your host, Chandler, also known as the big guy with the big hair.
And I'm Alex, the girl with the big hair. And, welcome.
Welcome. So today, we'd like to talk about this time of year. It's a little discouraging.
It's tough.
Late summer, middle of the summer. It's pretty slow.
It hasn't been bad up to recently.
Yeah, the last few days or so have been... You know, we just got a lot of fresh water pushing out of the rivers and out of the intercoastals and stuff. It's just, especially being restricted to the land, it's hard to find a good place to fish right now. But
has there been more rain this year than normal? Or is this pretty typical?
No, the rain, it hasn't been more rain. It just, last year, it seemed to have started kind of early. And this year, it held off like it usually does.
Okay. And that causes a lot of fresh water to come down the Peace River. And
the fish initially kind of get this shock to it. You know, they'll kind of, the bite slows down for a week, 10 days or so. But once it kind of settles and stabilizes, the bite comes back and those fish seem to be a lot more active. And, you know, the fish I'm talking about in particular, you know, your snook, your smaller tarpon, even mangrove snapper, they don't care about the salinity change so much. It's just when it drops very suddenly, they kind of turn off.
Okay. They probably go to deeper water, too, since the fresh water kind of sits on top.
They go to deeper water. They go to kind of the cleaner water. What they're eating changes because of a lot of the fish and the forage species that are getting washed out with the fresh water. So if you show up right now to some of your spots that are good in January, mm-hmm. trying to throw shrimp, you're probably not going to catch anything. And if you do, it's going to be kind of a junk fish, you know, catfish. Maybe mangrove snapper, but nothing cool, nothing to write home about.
Yeah, definitely want to stay away from the catfish.
That being said, there are some good places to go if you want to explore around. I'll start with...
So normally I'm at Ponce.
Yeah.
The bite is really turned off there. Or I also fish the PGI canals. Where should I go since I can't fish there?
Well, underneath the 41 bridges, they've been doing pretty good with blue crabs for black drum.
Okay.
And that's pretty much all I've kind of heard other than, you know, mangrove snapper and some snook being caught, but mostly...
Are they still getting sharks there under 41?
I haven't really heard anything. I know the smaller bulls were around up mm-hmm. until very recently, but...
So you said the blue crab. Does it matter if they're alive or if they're frozen?
No, not so much. But if they're frozen, you definitely want to try and get bigger ones.
Okay.
If you get the smaller, like, permit crabs or the redfish crabs,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, tarpon-sized crabs, those are probably not going to do as well for you. But if you get a good one that's, you know, 4 inches or 5 inches or so across the shell or bigger, that's typically what you want to look for them.
Okay. And you're not cutting them in half?
You can. If they're bigger ones, like your eating size blue crabs, definitely uh-huh. cut them in half.
I've always had problems cutting them in half because the little fish seem to pick out the insides very quickly.
Yeah. Try using them whole or okay. look for a smaller, bigger crab if that makes any sense.
Okay. Yeah, that new pier under the 41 bridge on the north side, it's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, they did really well with that. That walkway, it goes under... both bridges, I believe.
Mm-hmm, nice and wide, and you have the little bits of shade. And
yeah.
It can, you know, there can be a lot of people out there fishing, but it's so large that you really have nice privacy. And
yeah, and it's been productive lately, which, mm-hmm. you know, I've got people saying, I only caught two or three fish today. Like, for this time of year, that's great. That's a good day, you know. I wouldn't knock that at all.
It's not fished as much yet as it should be. I don't think a lot of people know about it or think about it.
Maybe a hidden gem.
Yeah, definitely.
I've
been driving past Lashley a lot, too, and it's kind of been dead over there. I wonder if they're having trouble with the fish over there.
Yeah, well, that area can probably, you know, it probably dies quite a bit when we get this surge of freshwater. Mm-hmm. And it's not new. It's just how bad it's gotten in the last couple of days has been. And it's not bad. It's normal. It happens. It's just you hit this kind of peak where it like plateaus, and that's when your bite kind of turns back on. But it's just been slowly kind of getting worse and worse. And then in the last few days, it's just rained so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the river's above flood stage.
Okay.
So there's just a lot of water moving. A lot of water trying to move out of there.
One thing I found really interesting is how, first of all, how the fresh water sits on top of the salt water.
Yeah.
And secondly, just how hot that top layer of water is and the lack of oxygen in it.
Yeah, it's
if you are catching fish and you put him in to resuscitate him back, you really need to reach down low and give him the best chance of being resuscitated by getting him that cold, cooler, oxygen-rich water.
Yeah, and this, you know, being restricted to the land, especially, you gotta take a little bit more care with those fish right now. But
yeah, so can't fish at ponds, can't fish in the canals, Lashley's not hitting, under 41's okay. Where else can I go?
Well, there's some great places kind of in my neck of the woods down near Englewood.
Okay.
You could go out to Placida Pier. That's a little bit cleaner. Towards the deeper end of it, or the end of the pier that you can get to, you know, fish right under your feet with a small split shot, small shrimp, pinfish. You get a good chance at catching mangrove snapper, snook. I've heard there's been some schools of redfish moving in out in those intercoastals, so I would expect to start seeing some of them getting caught off the piers here in the next month or so.
I've heard of Placida Trestle. Is that the
Placida Pier? That's the Placida Pier. It's right there on Fishery Road.
Okay.
Or off Fishery Road. They close all that now to build those condos, but the pier is still open. That'll be there.
Okay.
And I'm talking about the large trestle that's out where you can see the Boca Grande bridges, because there's a smaller pier that's right there by that bridge too, and that pier doesn't seem to be as productive, and especially right now that water's like root beer color, darker than root beer color. It's almost black.
Wow.
You know, so most of those fish are probably hanging on the other side of that mangrove line and all that little bit of land and in that little bit cleaner water near the sound.
Cool. You'll have to take me over there. I'd like to fish with you on that pier.
Yeah.
Show me how it's done.
It's a good spot. It's kind of, you know, we're coming up on the time of year where it's just going to be really productive, and the diversity of species there is insane.
Yeah.
You know, wintertime, late fall, wintertime, you get sheep's head, gobia, bigger snook, you know. It just...
Actually, now that you mention it, I've heard a lot of people talking about gag grouper there.
Yeah, sometimes. A little bit later in the season.
Okay.
Towards the end of the close of their season, anyhow. But
so
some
for,
other...
Oh. For I guess we should really let people know who we are. I'm Alex. I've almost been here for 5 months, so I'm relatively new to saltwater fishing. And Chandler, how long have you been down here?
I will have been here 5 years in January.
5 years.
So I kind of hit Florida, and I just never stopped.
And you've mastered it. How long did it take you to master the fishing down here?
The first year or so, at least, was very awkward. You know, trying to learn some things, but also taking a lot of, like, the pier rats information with a grain of salt, you know. They'll tell you these, you know, foolproof, you know, this is guaranteed to work all the time ways, and tell you about all the crazy stuff they've done. And
the 55-inch snook that they caught.
The 55-inch snook, the mythical 55-inch snook. I've yet to see it. Someone produce it, please.
Really? I've caught like 7 so far.
Well, maybe you should be taking me fishing. But
so, yeah. Placida.
Yep. Tom Adams Pier is kind of where I cut my teeth learning how to land-based fish down here and kind of became a pierette. It's in Englewood off of the beach road.
Okay.
A lot of people call it Tom Adams Pier because it's next to the Tom Adams Bridge, but it's actually called Anger Pier.
Oh, I've heard of Anger Pier.
Yeah. So
it's not Anger, it's Anger?
Anger, yeah. There's an I in there, so it's Anger Pier.
Oh.
But, yeah, that's a great place. You go to the end where it's a little bit deeper, and it's maybe 6 foot, you know, but the pier widens out, and there's this kind of big pavilion, or whatever you want to call it, at the end of it where it opens up a little bit more.
So you've got shade to fish there?
No.
No?
It's... No, maybe pavilion's the wrong word. It just opens, like, the pier is only so wide, and then at the very end of it, it opens up a lot. Like, it's a bigger part of it, like a deck or something.
Okay, yeah, I don't know how you would refer to that either, but...
Yeah. But underneath that, you get a lot of mangrove snapper, some snook, grunts, sometimes whiting. You know, I've seen people catch redfish out there. I've caught cobia out there. That's another great area. And for that type of stuff, you want a fairly medium-heavy rod. You know, a 3,000 or 4,000 size reel. I would recommend a 4,000, definitely. 7.5 foot, medium-heavy rod. You know, 10 to 20, 12 to 20. And, you know, 20-pound braid, 25-pound leader. You're fishing structure almost constantly when you're fishing from the land. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to gear up appropriately for that.
And not just because you're near it, but that's where the fish hang out.
That's where they are.
Of structure, any kind of anomaly, like a mangrove bush at the edge, like that's where you're going to be finding your fish. You're not going to be finding them out in the middle unless you are targeting catfish. And
yeah, definitely. And I've been humbled many times by the structure. You know, you hook into that fish of a lifetime and it's
they know how to work those pilings.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's their territory. You're at a lot of the time at a disadvantage once you finally hook a fish. But
yeah, it's incredible. They've really learned how to use their environment and how to go in there. I don't know if they're actually so smart as to know that, you know, these oysters are going to cut this line and I'm going to go free, or if they're really just heading for cover.
I don't know. It's hard to gauge how smart a fish is, really. They seem pretty intelligent. I think most of your structure fish are very instinctive. Mm-hmm. They know from the time they're 4 inches long till they get 2 feet long. They know that if they get behind something, they're safer from a predator. And when they feel threatened, they're going to, you know, kind of do what they do. But talk a little bit, too, about the Venice Jetties, which is someplace I hadn't been in about a year or so. And I was up there recently and caught a bunch of small snook. It was loaded inside of the jetties between the two markers and the end of the jetties with, you know, 20 to 80 pound tarpon. Just loaded. You could walk across them, it looked like. There are so many in there. And it's interesting because on the outside of the jetties right now, you can almost see bottom on the beach sides. So I'm talking about the South Jetty in Venice and then the North Jetty Fish Camp.
Okay.
On the outsides, it's almost clear. But the water coming out from the jetties, from that water that comes down from like Albee Road and up there, is very dark. But that's where those fish are hanging out. So it might be pushing out those fish, but also it's a very good kind of choke point for what they want to eat. You know, some of the smaller freshwater species are getting pushed out there, and that's what they're feeding on.
Okay. Yeah, that's another place I haven't fished yet. Recently was talking to a friend, Pepe, and we were talking about heading out there because the fishing has been good.
Yeah, and there's times of the year out there you'll get Spanish mackerel, you know, cobia. There's redfish that come through there. The big tarpon, a little bit earlier in the year, come through there and hang out. I've been there and seen 140-pound tarpon rolling inside the jetties.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and that's a great
exciting
place to use, like, white bait, pinfish, bigger shrimp, you know. Some of your lures, like a heavier bucktail jig or something.
So I'm not familiar with there, but it sounds like there's big rocks.
Yeah, jetty is essentially just two big, long rock piles that make, like, an intercoastal that comes out from the beach, and it's paved on top.
Okay.
So
how do you bring fish in there without the rocks cutting it up, line up?
You can kind of get down onto the rocks and, you know, there's been times where I've lost 40-inch snook at my feet there trying to handle them, but there's honestly really no good way. It's just a place that I would step up my leader. Instead of using 25 or 30, I might jump up to 50 or 60-pound.
Okay. And
fluorocarbon, you know. You could probably use mono there right now with the water being dark, but general rule of thumb is closer to the cleaner water, you definitely want fluorocarbon.
And what would you be throwing there?
I was throwing a smaller bucktail jig.
Okay.
Or I say smaller, it was maybe an ounce.
Okay.
But there's all kinds of stuff. You can
take any fresh bait?
Yeah, pinfish. Pinfish is great there on like a 1 ounce sinker, or a knocker rig where you have, or not a knocker rig, a drop shot where you've got the weight underneath.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also a really great spot for mangrove snapper. And there are some big gag groupers there. You know, a couple years ago, I watched a guy catch one that was pretty close to 30 inches on a whole bluefish.
Wow.
Yeah. So he put down like a 10-inch bluefish and it got crushed. And when I was there the other day, there was kids catching bluefish, ladyfish, smaller mangrove snapper. That's a very active spot. If I had to recommend somewhere to go right now, I would say Venice Jetties. It's been the most active that I've seen, at least kind of wandering around.
Okay. Do you have to pay for parking or anything there?
Nope.
No?
No. And you can park very close. It's not like a big trek. Like Placida Pier, it's kind of a haul with all your gear when you're walking to it. And it's not too far, but to the end of the pier, it's, you know, it's quite a ways. If anyone's familiar with fishing like Eljo Bean Pier, it's probably twice that distance walking out to the end of. So.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm kind of lazy.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah. So can you throw a cast net at the jetties?
If you go into the shallower part where the parking is and get down over the rocks, yes. But I'd say for the end of it, if you've not got a whole lot of experience throwing a cast net, you're probably going to mess up your net throwing it there. But if you go to the very beginning of it or the beach side, because you can actually get to the sand, you could throw a smaller cast net for sure, maybe 6 foot or so, 8 foot.
Where would be a good place for me to throw a cast net right now?
Oh, man.
How about under the 41 bridge?
I'm not too sure, honestly. I don't know what the bait's been looking like there. I know in the harbor, there was some white bait pretty scattered in smaller groups around, but with all that water that's pushed out recently, it's hard telling. You know, I've not really put in the time in Charlotte Harbor from the land like I probably should have. I typically tend to fish more in my backyard, but
understandable.
That's something we're going to start doing is maybe fish up this way a little more. Because in the wintertime, it is great. It is a great place to fish.
The PGI canals, man, they're crazy.
Yeah, I've heard some crazy stories. And I fished Ponce de Leon Park and caught some crazy stuff there. But
just want to mention that it is illegal to throw a cast net in all of Punta Gorda.
Yeah.
At Ponce, you know, it's anywhere in Punta Gorda, do not throw your cast net. Any other places that we could go?
You could kind of go a little bit farther north if you feel like it. That's kind of a haul.
What about beach fishing? I haven't done that either.
The beach right now, I don't know how much confidence I have in it. I know some of my shark fishing friends are still catching some smaller bulls and black tips and stuff like that. But as far as like light gear fishing, you might catch some ladyfish. Some of the snook might still be out there, some of your bigger snook. But we're kind of around that point where they typically start showing back up here from the spawn. But yeah, the beach, I've got very little love for the beach except for only a couple species.
Okay. So
a lot of people like to go out there and early in the morning and try and catch pompano, and you get Spanish mackerel that come through, and like, as you know,
like how far off the beach?
Not very far. You could go into, you know, maybe waist deep water and start casting.
Oh, you got to get in the water?
You don't have to.
Forget that.
Yeah. You know, I'm a little brave about it. I'll get in the water.
Yeah. Oh, no, not me. Hopefully I'll get over that soon, though.
But well, out there you can at least, you know, see bottom where you're fishing, you know.
Yeah.
I get a little wary of areas where, you know, a foot down into the water, you can't see anything. Because Florida's a little bit scarier than where I came from.
At least the water's warmer.
Yeah.
Chandler's from Maine.
Yeah, I grew up in Maine. And
were you fishing up there?
Oh, all the time. All the time. And I almost never fished from a boat up there either. And
what species do you target?
Brook trout, smallmouth bass, salmon sometimes. We had some causeways near some of the bigger lakes where you could get salmon in the fall. And we have largemouth bass up there, too, like down here. But the fish here get big. You know? I caught a 7-pounder up there, and I could probably go back and still brag about that one. Here, 7-pounder's like, oh, you know.
Yeah. Well, I recently got a first, although most of the fish I catch down here are my firsts. I got a black drum.
Yeah, and that was in your backyard, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was in my backyard. My backyard is the PGI canals. I haven't been fishing very much, not used to the heat yet down here, but went out with a friend and I was throwing some lures, ended up putting on a X-Wrap pilchard, cast across the widest part of the canal, and slow retrieve, steady retrieve, and in the middle of the canal, I kept feeling a bump. So three casts, right as I hit the middle, bump. Would set it, nothing there. Fourth time, he really hits it, and it was my first big, huge black drum. It was a lot of fun bringing in.
Yeah.
Is it weird that I caught it? Whenever I've heard of people fishing for black drum, I think shrimp and crab, like, along the pilings.
Yeah, it's a little uncommon, okay. I would say, to catch them on that type of artificial, especially. But they have a primary diet of crustaceans. You know, they like oysters, they like crabs, shrimp. But I think, like most fish, you'd be surprised to see that they're very opportunistic feeders.
Okay.
Most fish are that way. You always hear about, like, the magic bait for certain fish species, but a lot of those fish have a very, very wide diet, which is something that I've kind of learned over the years. You know, if someone tells you this is the only bait that works for a fish, they probably haven't really tried anything else.
Yeah. Well, when you find something that works for you, it's, you know.
One thing I also wanted to talk about that I kind of skipped out on when we were talking about like shrimp and pinfish and stuff, I just want to say it's very important to size your hook to your bait, because if you want to go catch
not to the fish's mouth to your bait,
if you want to go catch a 30-inch snook, you could probably do that on a regular size shrimp, but if your hook's too big, he's probably not going to eat it
because he sees it.
It hinders the action of the shrimp. It makes the shrimp do something funny, and it's just it's not natural to them. Presentation is a big thing. So smaller hook, you know, if you're using a big shrimp, you could use a 3/0 or a 4/0 circle hook, but for the most part I would say stay between a size 1 to 2/0. So that's a that's a 1/1 and 2/0 size hooks. And you don't need to go crazy with weight. A lot of where you're fishing is very close to your feet, so you know, 1 ounce will usually do it unless you're in very, very heavy current. But a lot of the times, I'll just use a small split shot, or for a drop shot rig, like a 3/4 ounce bass casting sinker.
I do a Carolina rig at Ponce, and for me, I use 1.5, sometimes 2. On crazy days, I'll go up to like a 6, just because that current in there can be super strong.
But don't
overweight down your line. I mean, I like using that Carolina rig so he can pick it up and not really feel the weight of that. What are some other rigs that you'd recommend?
The drop shot, I think, is one of my favorite for some of your smaller species. And
is a drop shot a split shot?
No, a drop shot has the weight underneath the hook, not attached to the hook, but you'd have your weight and then maybe 6 or 10 inches of line, and then your hook right on the line, and then from your hook, your main line to your rod.
Well, that doesn't let your bait really swim around then.
No, but for your mangrove snappers and even sheep's head and stuff that's more like your notorious bait stealers, the line gets bumped as soon as they touch it. So you stand a lot better chance of, you know, setting the hook on that fish, because the first year I was down here, I was trying to catch sheep's head with fiddler crabs, and I'd go through 2 dozen and not catch one fish. But I'd sit there and, you know, they'd be eating the bait, you know. It's not like they weren't active or anything. It's just they got every single one of those crabs, and then you switch to a drop shot, it's a little more successful. But
nice. Yeah, I'll have to give that a try. Definitely enjoy eating the mangrove snapper.
Yeah, and most days I'd take a mangrove snapper or a sheep's head over snook any day.
Really? I still haven't had the chance to eat my first snook, so I'm not sure when that's actually going to happen. I think I might need to travel now that the season's opening up.
Yeah.
Well, it's been fun talking to you, Chandler.
Yeah, it's been fun talking to you, too.
Thanks for joining us. Come back and listen again. Thanks. Bye.